The love of God is indescribable. It's unfathomable. And we cannot take in the height, the breadth, the depth, the length of the love of God. It is so huge. And that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about living life in 3D Christianity. And the great commandment is this, and this is found in verse 29. Jesus answered him. The scribes and Pharisees were trying to trip Jesus up. And they asked him, "What is the greatest commandment of all?" And he said to him, "The first of all commandments and the principal is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.'" This is the first commandment. This is 3D Christianity. Spirit, soul, and body. We're to love God. Now, I want to tell you right now, we don't do that. We don't do that to the fullest degree. This is a full-time occupation, learning to do this. This is so multifaceted that grasping this takes a lifetime commitment. And it's one that we need to be about as believers. You know, we need to come to the point that we're truly believers indeed, not just in name. Can I say that again? We need to be truly believers indeed, not just in name. There's a whole lot of Christians who name the name of Jesus. But to actually live and walk in the love of God is a full-time occupation. And many times, our Christianity is just a convenience to us. And God doesn't want to be a convenience in our life. He wants to be the very core of what we're all about. When you made Jesus Lord, you sold out. When you confessed Jesus as Lord and He came into your life, you sold out your life, your existence, all that you are. You no longer belong to yourself. You belong to God. Your very body is His. Your spirit is His. Your mind, your will, and your emotions become His. And learning to love the God, love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength is an overwhelming task that we have. And it needs to be something that we do until the day that we die. It's something that we grow in. And today we're going to talk about the last aspect of this. I don't have time to really go and review all of this. We have CDs available on this whole series that we've done. Or you can go to our website, believerscommunity.org, and you can listen to all of our messages. But it's this one. It's the second, Jesus said in verse 31. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. It says you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Last week we talked about loving ourselves. What does it mean to love ourselves? And that word is agape. I know a lot of people who phileo themselves, who love themselves in a very selfish manner because their life is all about themselves. Everything revolves around, they're the center of their existence. But when you become a Christian, you're no longer the center of your existence. God is the center of your existence. And you can really learn to love yourself as God loves you. And we talked about that last week. But here is the natural progression. This is the way that it happens. See, it's impossible to agape people if you don't agape God. It's impossible to agape yourself if you don't agape God. So the first and principal thing of the kingdom is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one is love your neighbor as yourself. So yourself is second in learning the agape life where you're concerned. That means to accept yourself as God accepts you, to see yourself as God sees you. And this is a huge thing. Because a lot of times we beat ourselves up. We think that we're so bad and unworthy and we hate ourselves. You know, and it's impossible to love other people if you hate yourself. You cannot love other people when you don't love yourself. And I'm talking about agape here. Okay? But the third and the last is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the progression. God, self, and then others. Now a lot of people say, well, you know, you got to love others first. Well, really, when you love God and then you love yourself, you will exalt other people above yourself. But, you know, if you hate yourself, you can't do that. It takes the love of God where you're concerned to be able to do that. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures today. Go with me to John 13:34. And we're going to look at a bunch of scripture today. I'm going to make a couple of points and then we're going to look at scripture. Jesus says this, and this is the same thing I just read. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now that's tough, because what did Jesus do for you? What did Jesus do for you? He says that's what we're supposed to do for others. Now, does that mean we're supposed to die on a cross? No. We're not supposed to die on a cross. And we're not really even supposed to die for other people. Jesus died for us. But what we need to learn how to do is live for other people too. Okay? That's what we need to do. And verse 35 says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Okay, here's two points that I want to make about what does loving other people look like. Number one, and this is the same number one that I gave you last week where it says that you have to love yourself. How do I love myself? Number one, I need to see myself as a new person. If you're going to love other people as you love yourself, guess what? I need to see others as a new person. And let's talk about being believers. I know Ricky Jones. I know his heart. He and I are close because we've had a lot of association over the years. What year did you show up? 18 years I've known Ricky Jones. I've seen him at his worst. I've seen him at his best. I've seen him everywhere in between. I know him. And I know his strengths. I know his weaknesses. I see things about him where his character is strong, and I see some areas where his character is weak. And if we're not careful, what we do is we judge people by their weaknesses. We're real good at this. Let me tell you something about American Christians. We have a whole lot of arrogance about us. We are very arrogant. Americans are very arrogant people. Okay? We really are. If we wanted to unpack that and look at it, I could show you how arrogant we really are. And one of those areas is in the way that we look at other people, that we look at other believers. And what I need to do, if I'm going to love Ricky, I need to see him as a new creature in Christ. I need to see him as complete in Christ Jesus. I need to be able to see his weaknesses, but I don't need to allow those weaknesses to affect me. I need to see the end result. Now this has to do with faith, okay? Faith has to do with being able to see the end result. That's how you get from where you are to where you're going. You're going to have to see the end result, and then you're going to have to line up your heart and your mouth in order to get where you're going. And when it comes to your relationship with other people, you need to see them as complete, and you will treat them different. You won't be judgmental. You won't be condescending. You won't think that you're better than they are. And a lot of times we do that. We see baby Christians and we see ourselves sometimes as superior because we have more knowledge. Let me tell you, you know, the more mature you are, the more responsibility that you have. It doesn't make you better than anybody else. See, the truth of the matter is, the moment that you get born again, you're as righteous as you'll ever be. You're as righteous as you'll ever be. You don't get more righteous. Righteous is just right standing with God. And the reason you don't get more righteous is because you can't earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's free. It's given to us. I don't have any reason to boast about anything in God other than what God has done in me. So we don't need to be putting other people down because they are not where we are. You know, if you really want to compare yourself to somebody, compare yourself to Jesus. That'll put you right in where you need to look, because you'll fall way short. In fact, a brand new believer may be walking in more in what they know than what some mature believers in what they know. Y'all quiet today. What are we talking about? Loving your neighbor as yourself. You see them as complete in Christ Jesus. Number two, I need to see others as God sees them. How does God see Ricky Jones? He sees him as his child. He cares about every aspect of his life. He cares about him a whole bunch. And I need to see other people the way that God sees them. Have you ever had anybody just hack you off? I had somebody hack me off this morning. I really did. My dander got up. I felt it rising up. Somebody said something to me. It just teed me off. It really did. And I had to back up and I had to think, okay, I got a problem here. Somebody was being ugly. You say, well, they got a problem. No. If I allowed it to affect me, then guess what? I have the problem. Because if I allow them to affect me, then guess what? They control my life. And I don't need to let other people control my life. I need to be able to see other people as God sees them. And that means that I need to be able to look through their stuff and not be affected by it. Now can I tell you something real big here? This series that I've done on the love of God, if you take it serious, it'll kick your tail. It will kick your tail. Because you're not near walking in the love of God as you think you are. One thing that I have seen in this, that I don't walk in love like I should. And I have a duty to God to walk in His love. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures and we're going to see what this looks like. See, y'all not shouting much today. Like I say, this stuff will kick your tail. Can you say that in church? I just did. It's kicking mine. Okay, we're going to start in Romans and we're going to go through. Go with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. These are all agape scriptures. This is what the Bible says about agape and other people. And it says this, Romans 12:9, let love be without hypocrisy. Oh, that means I just can't go through the motions. That means I just can't put a mask on and say, Jason, I love you. It's got to be real. You know what? If something is going to be real, I mean, it's easy to love some people. It's easy to love some people. It's hard to love some people. It's hard to agape them. They have such a personality about them. They have such a disposition about them that they're difficult to deal with. But the Bible didn't tell us just to agape our friends. It said we had to agape our enemies too. In fact, it says that you have to bless your enemies. Oh, I don't want to bless my enemies. I want them to reap what they've sown. I want the bird of paradise to fly up their nose. I want an elephant to caress them with their toes. I'm talking about what I want. But the Bible says that I have to bless those. See, I'm wanting to put a curse on them. Call down the fire. You go to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You're gone. Dude, But the Bible says, let love be without hypocrisy. That means that I have to come to a place in my life that I can love my enemies as well as my friends. And I can bless those who curse me. I can bless those who despitefully use me. That's hard. This will kick your tail, I'm telling you. Not only do you, you're not putting on a mask of love. It says, let it be without hypocrisy. You know what a hypocrite is? That's a person that wears different masks. In the I guess it's the Greek days, they had plays, and people would play different roles. In fact, men might play a man and a woman. And what he would do is, when he played the man's part, he'd wear this mask. When he played the woman's part, he would wear a different mask. Have you ever been in the movie theater and saw the two masks? Is that long gone? Well, that's the hypocrite. It's an actor. And we're not supposed to be actors. We're supposed to be the genuine article. And it's very challenging sometimes to love, to let love be without hypocrisy. Okay. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Not only do we have to love them with God's love, we have to love people with brotherly love. Dude, man. In honor, giving preference to one another. It says we gotta honor one another. We gotta be people. I don't like people. Guess what? You got a love problem. Let me tell you where it starts. It starts with the love of God. Selah. Pause and think on that a minute. If you're having problem with people, it's because you got a spiritual problem. Love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, that's what happened. Agape is in you. And if you got people problems and you don't like people, you've got some God problems. You've got some love issues between you and God. There's some things in your life that hasn't been worked out like they should. And you need to go back and look in the mirror of the Word of God and let Him deal with your stinking hide so that you can get your heart where it needs to be. Whoo! This is smoking. Okay. Go with me to Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. This says that we shouldn't owe anybody anything except to love. Don't be indebted to other people. The only debt that you should owe is the debt of love. Okay. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That means if I lust after a woman other than my wife, then I got a love problem. Oh, thank you, Jesus. If I covet somebody else's stuff, then I've got an agape problem. So we don't see things that way. Well, that's just the way I... No. Not as a new creature. That's not the way you are. You need to see yourself as God sees you. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You can't take your body. You can't take your body and have a wrong relationship with your body. It's a love issue. And it goes back to God. In fact, when you do that, you're sinning against God. And you're sinning against your body, which belongs to God. Okay. Hey, preach you some of that love stuff. I am preaching you some love stuff. Sometimes love is tough because it goes against our hides. It goes against us sometimes. Okay. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, we don't have to be concerned about the Ten Commandments. All you got to be concerned is the love of God. If you're walking in love, you don't do those stuff. Okay. Okay, go to Romans 14:14. Don't you love this stuff? Okay, if you don't, then you got a problem. Guess what? It's a love problem. Say, boy, this is, you know, this stuff is getting me. I told you to kick your tail if you're not walking it, it'll kick you. But let me say, this is not a bondage thing. This is a freedom thing. This is really a freedom thing. If you want to be set free of something, you only do it through the love of God. Romans 14:14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean in itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Oh, man. What does the love of God look like if I sat down with a person and he is offended by eating pork? Do I have the freedom to eat pork? Is there anything in the Bible, the New Testament, that says that I can't eat pork? No. I'm free to eat buzzard if I want to. I can eat anything. I can eat anything I want to. But if my eating or my drinking offends my brother, guess what? I'm not walking in love. You mean I got to be conscious of that kind of stuff too? Only if you want to walk in love. Only if you want to walk in agape. You know, if I was going to minister in a church and they did not like casual dress, you had to wear a suit and a tie, I'd wear a suit and a tie. I wouldn't particularly like it. But rather than offend my brothers, I would do what I needed to do to walk in love. The same thing with eating. If you go somewhere and someone is offended by that, then don't do it. Otherwise, you're not walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken evil of. We have to be conscientious if we walk in love, don't we? Okay, Ephesians 5. You ladies are going to love this one. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, agape your wives. Man. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. One of the things about loving our wives is that we give ourselves for our wives. I mean, I got to agape my wife. Yeah, it's not all about the erotic love. It's not all about being best friends. You got to love your wife. If you don't love your wife, guess what kind of problem you got? You got a love of God problem. You got a love of God issue going on. If it's not good between the husband and wife, we got a love of God issue going on. And we got to go back and we got to get those things solved. All right. Moving right along. Philippians chapter 2. Tell us how to prosper, brother. I'm telling you how to prosper. We like that easy stuff. Can I say this to you? When you get this down, it'll make life easier. When you're motivated by the love of God, your life will be so much easier. Although you have to be disciplined to do it, your life will be so much more blessed because your relationships will be enhanced. You'll turn enemies into friends. You'll turn unbelievers into believers. This is what Jesus did. You know what Jesus' greatest impact was? Was the life of love that he lived. He spoke with power, but listen, he lived with power too. Philippians 2:2, fulfill my joy and be like-minded, having the same love, be of one accord and one mind. That says we need to learn how to think alike. You know, the longer I live with my wife, the more we think alike. We've been in a relationship almost 35 years, well, really longer than that. We've been married almost 35 years. We dated a year and a half. And we can be sitting in the same room and have the same thought, sometimes at the same time. And that says that we as believers need to... See, I've learned to think like she does. Now, what would Kathy do? But this says that we need to have the same, we need to be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Okay? This says that I need to lift your interest higher than my interest. This is love. Okay. Write these scriptures down and go meditate on them. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It says that we need to consider one another. We need to think about one another. We need to encourage one another. To consider, to esteem one another. And you know, if you see someone that's down, if you see someone that's wavering, don't condemn them. Consider them. Esteem them. See them as God sees them. And stir them up towards love and good works. Because that's what we're called to walk in. 1 Peter 4:8. And above all things, have fervent agape for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. I mean, I have to be nice to Tammy and not grumble about it. Yay. Okay? But notice this. Do you have the tendency to expose someone's shortcoming or to cover them? When someone messes up, do you tell what they did? Or do you try to cover it up? See, this is the love test. This is the love test. Okay, I got to move fast. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And here again, remember, if you're having troubles this way, it's because you got troubles this way. Verse 17 of the same chapter. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If you have the ability to help someone and you don't do it, especially a brother, how can you say the love of God lives in you? It doesn't. Okay, I'm going to close it with this. This is from 1 Corinthians Chapter 13. This is the love boat. This is the love chapter. This is not human love. That we use this at weddings, but this is not talking about that kind of love. This is God's love. Are you ready? This is from the Message Bible, and here's what it says. Love never gives up. You know, we ought to be able to take love out of this and put I in here. I never give up. I care more for others than for myself. I don't want what I don't have. I don't strut. I don't have a swelled head. I don't force myself on others. I'm not always about me first. I don't fly off the handle. I don't keep score of the sins of others. I don't revel when others grovel. Have you passed the test yet? What did I do? It's not over. I take pleasure in the flowering of truth. I put up with anything. I trust God. I always look for the best. I never look back. I keep going to the end. That's a description of what the love of God looks like. That's what the love of God in a believer looks like. Let's pray together. Thank you today, Father, for your wonderful love. You've loved us incredibly. And Lord God, You have given us, as Your children, the supernatural ability to love ourselves and to love other people. May we take these last few weeks deeply to heart, and may we consider our lives and our love walk. For Father, I know that if we'll get this right, we'll be the church that we're supposed to be. I thank You in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. You may be here today and you've never experienced the love of God. You don't belong to Christ. You haven't invited Him into your life. And you know, we need to come to the place in our lives where we realize that we can't control our lives. We have to get off the throne of our own heart. And we have to realize that God really does love us, and He has a plan for our life. And then we have to make this decision that we're going to turn our hearts and our lives over to Him. We're going to let Him take control. We're going to let Him sit on the throne of our hearts, and we're going to get off of it. And that's what we mean by receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior today. You know, if you're here today and you have never done that, we want to give you the opportunity to do that today. We're not going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come to the front. We're not going to ask you to stand up or do anything. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you'd like to be included in this prayer. I'm going to lead the congregation in a prayer if there's anybody that would like to pray this prayer. And we'll all pray it together. Maybe you're here today and you've known God, but you slipped away and you just need to get back where you need to be. But no matter what, if you're here today and you'd like to be included in this prayer that we're going to pray, slip your hand up and back down. Anybody? Okay? Anyone else? All right. Anyone else? Several hands have gone up. There's another one. Okay. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to, everybody here together, pray this simple prayer out loud. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank You that You love me. I realize, Lord, I can't control my own life, and that You love me. I choose You right now. I ask You to forgive me of my sin, to come into my life, to make me new, to give me a fresh start. And I receive You today, and I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you prayed that for the very first time, here's what I'd like for you to do. After we dismiss, there'll be some guys in the foyer out here. They've got Bibles, easy to read Bibles that has lots of instructions for new believers on the inside of them. If you'll go back there, they'll be glad to give you one of those. Just go and say, I'd like to have one of those Bibles. Also, be aware of this, that next Sunday morning at 9:30, we're starting a new believers class. It'll meet during the first service. So you can go to the new believers class and then come to the second service. It's a 4-week class on the fundamentals of the faith. A lot of it's some of what we've covered in this deal. And you can sign up in the foyer back there. So after the service, if you prayed that for the first time and you'd like one of those Bibles, go by there and they'd be glad to give you one and talk to you. Let's stand together.
All right, let's pray together. Father God, thank You so much, Lord, for this word that You've spoken into our hearts, God. Help us to love as You love. God, help us to see others as You see them. Father, we know that people will be drawn to You as You love them through us, Father. God, help us to be the shining light. Help us to be salt in the world around us. God, help us to make a difference. Lord, and You'll do that when we begin to love others as You love them. Father, thank You so much, Lord, for everyone here today. God, thank You, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. God, I just thank you, Lord, as we leave here today. God, we know that you're protecting us. You're guiding us. God, as we go back to work, as we go about our lives, Lord, bring this back to our remembrance, Lord. The people that get on our nerves, Lord, help us to remember that you love them and that we need to love them and show that love to them. God, and those relationships will change in our lives, Father. Thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming out this morning. You guys are dismissed.